You are Locked On Vols, your daily Tennessee Volunteers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Vols, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thank you for being here today, as today is the start of Tennessee's football spring practice. So the start of today's show will be focused on that. In segment number one, I'll look at the top three storylines as Tennessee begins spring practice. It can be a long list. I'll try to narrow it down to three choices with so many new players getting an opportunity almost right away. I'll talk about some of the newcomers to watch as Tennessee opens up spring practice later this afternoon. In segment number two, Braden Gall of Athlon Sports and the Cover 2 podcast discusses what Tennessee needs to work on this spring and what needs to get done this offseason. Is quarterback a concern for Tennessee heading into spring practice? That's coming up in segment number two. And then in segment number three, a number of basketball items to get to. LSU was able to hold on and beat Florida on Wednesday night. The game went to overtime. It was a pretty wild finish, both in regulation and overtime. LSU escaped in Gainesville. I'll talk about what that means for Tennessee heading into Saturday, the final weekend of the regular season, as the Vols attempt to win an SEC title, and more honors for Tennessee's leaders on the basketball team. That's coming up right here on Locked On Vols, the daily Tennessee podcast available on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, the third-party apps. Anywhere you get your podcasts, you can find Locked On Vols here 5 days a week. So today will be day number one of Tennessee's spring football practice with 14 practices plus the orange and white game coming up April 13th. It's going to be April 13th at 6 p.m. at Neyland Stadium. So I thought in the first segment here I'd go through three storylines I'll be paying attention to. There's a long list you can come up with. I'll go through three items. Number one, I think it starts with the newcomers. You have several players in the 2019 class who will have an opportunity to play right away and possibly start for Tennessee in 2019. Players like offensive lineman Wanya Morris, wide receiver Ramel Keaton, Quavarius Crouch on the defensive side will have a chance to help Tennessee immediately at linebacker. In the defensive backfield, there are players like Jalen McCullough, Tyus Fields, Warren Burrell, Eric Gray at running back. Brian Maurer is competing for the backup quarterback position, which is really important. Jarrett Garantano is your number one quarterback. We know that. But what about number two? JT Shrout's never taken a snap in college. Obviously, Brian Maurer has not either, as he just enrolled several weeks ago. But a lot of newcomers are on campus competing for playing time right away. Jackson Lowe at tight end is another player to pay attention to. How ready those guys appear to be, what kind of impact, and what kind of spot some of these guys can find in the rotation, that'll be worth paying attention to, because we know from Jeremy Pruitt that he expects a lot of players in the 2019 class to at least compete for playing time and for several of those guys to earn it. I do think the biggest part about the addition of the new players is the competition. The players who are returning, guys who now have experience from being on the field this past fall, from working in Jeremy Pruitt's program the last year, they have a better understanding of what is expected of them by Tennessee's head coach and the coaches. Even with the coaching staff shakeup, some guys are going to have new position coaches this spring. Those guys returning have a better idea of how practices will go with Jeremy Pruitt as the head coach. Now they have new players who will be pushing them for playing time. That should increase the level of competition on Tennessee's football team. So what kind of impact the newcomers can make, how they look, some of these guys that were very highly touted. Wanya Morris is going to compete for a starting position on the offensive line. Ramel Keaton would love to be a part of the wide receiver rotation. I mentioned Quavarius Crouch. That was a big-time get in December. He is expected to make a big impact for Tennessee's defense. They need more athleticism. They need more playmakers. Again, on the defensive side, Crouch could be one of those players. Let's see what they look like after a few months working out on campus, trying to get acclimated as quickly as possible. Storyline number two, I think, is on the offensive line. With Wanya Morris coming in, he will have a chance to help early. And right now, we don't know what Trey Smith's status will be, so I think the conversation around the offensive line has to be without Trey. The number one priority for him is his health and getting everything squared away, but there is no expectation that anything is going to be finalized as it relates to Trey Smith on the field anytime soon. So can Morris help right away? How about guys that are returning, like Ryan Johnson, Jahmyr Johnson, Jerome Carvin? What have the last couple of months been like for them? Really, December, January, February, the start of March, as they've been working out, getting ready for another year, those are players who really need to benefit from the consistency they've been able to find in the strength program with Craig Fitzgerald. Jahmyr Johnson did a pretty good job of putting weight on last summer when he arrived in June and battled to earn a starting position by the start of the season. In just a couple of months, he put on some weight, but not enough. So is Jahmyr Johnson even bigger? Because I think Tennessee's coaching staff likes him and what his potential can be. Jerome Carvin now, with a full year at the University of Tennessee, what kind of development has he made physically? There's a guy that played a good amount as a true freshman. That experience, and again, a full year in Tennessee's weight program, should help him as well. How well the offensive line can play this year will, of course, have a big impact on how Jim Chaney's offense will perform. So item number three, I'll stay on the offensive side. What does the offense look like? What does Jarrett Garantano look like as well, as he had to battle through injuries this past season? I thought overall Garantano played quite well in an offense that was limited, with an offensive line that was not very good, and with Tyson Helton in his position for the first time. There were just some challenges that Garantano had to overcome. Plus, he was trying to take a big step from his redshirt freshman season to his sophomore year. And I think overall Garantano did that. He wasn't perfect, not even close to it, but I don't think anybody expected him to. Does he look different this spring? He is the clear number one as well. This time a year ago, Garantano was considered the number one guy on the depth chart, but we also knew that Keller Christ was on his way, and that during the summer months, Garantano and Christ would have to compete for the starting position. Garantano won it pretty easily, but there was still the question, is he the guy? And we'll see what Jeremy Pruitt says publicly about Jarrett Garantano, but right now everybody knows he's QB1. There is no discussion of a quarterback battle for the starting position. The quarterback battle will be for the backup spot between Shrout and Maurer. But within the offense, the offensive line's key. Garantano is important. How will the playmakers be used? There are options on offense for Jim Chaney to take advantage of. In the backfield, Ty Chandler and Eric Gray is a really good athlete that has been added to the skill position. So how do they use those backs out of the backfield? At wide receiver, you have Juwan Jennings, who should be healthier than he was at the start of the 2018 season. And at times, you know, he's battling through, I think, injuries. How severe, I don't know. But I don't think Juwan was really 100% this past fall. If he's healthier now, he should be a guy that I think can take a step forward and play at an even higher level. Same with Marquez Callaway. Dominique Wett Anderson is a player that I believe Tennessee's coaches are hoping can make a jump and be even more impactful on the offense this fall. So with the number of skill position players that Jim Chaney has to work with, how are they involved? What's different there with new position coaches? Chris Winkie's coaching quarterbacks. You have David Johnson coaching running backs, and T. Martin now coaching wide receivers. So that's something to remember with the new look offensive staff as well. You can keep going with a list of storylines for the spring, the defensive line, who emerges there, but newcomers, the offensive line, and the offense overall with a new leader, essentially the head coach of the offense, that being Jim Chaney, those are my three main storylines as Tennessee begins practice later today. Coming up in segment number two, radio and podcast host Braden Gall discusses what's most important for Tennessee this spring and through the rest of the offseason to get ready for the start of year two, and Jeremy Pruitt discusses what's different now compared to a year ago when Tennessee was going through spring practice. That's coming up in the next segment of Locked On Vols, your team every day, covering what's going on with Tennessee football, Tennessee basketball, other UT sports. As it's a busy time right now. Tennessee's baseball team is now 13-0, the best start in school history, and we'll see what happens in SEC play, but things are going really well for Tony Vitello's team. And I think a lot of people are optimistic with what this team can do. So there's a lot to cover. I'm doing it here 5 days a week on Locked On Vols. If you have time to rate and review the show, please do so. Thanks to everybody who has gone on iTunes and rated and reviewed the show so far. Locked On Vols, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. So with Tennessee getting ready for the start of spring practice, everybody needs to improve. I think that's a pretty obvious statement coming off the 5-7 season, and I think everybody at Tennessee would agree with that. But what is most important for Jeremy Pruitt and his coaching staff to try to get done with Tennessee's football team right now, and what needs to happen between now and the start of the 2019 season? That's something we talked to Braden Gall about on Sports 180 on Wednesday. Braden Gall hosts the Cover 2 podcast. He's also on the radio in Nashville and Sirius XM, and he discussed that. What's important for Tennessee this spring and through the rest of the offseason, what Jeremy Pruitt needs to get done with this Tennessee football team?
Well, I mean, it's far, if you want to go back to him talking about we need 25 new guys, I mean, it's developing young talent. Any of the early enrollees, anybody along the line of scrimmage, especially on offense, to me it's about, all right, coach, you're the guy who coaches them up. You're the talent developer. You're the undersized safety who learned to be a starter. You know, that's his MO. That's what he needs to do. And so this should be about developing talent. And you look at the roster nationally, I know the recruiting rankings don't play themselves out, you know, 100% accurately. It's an inexact science. But Tennessee is one of the most, compared to the rankings, one of the most underachieving programs the last two seasons. So the players should be there, and now he's had two classes to do it. Two levels of player. The first and second year players are all his now. So he needs to start developing those guys, and that goes to the coaching staff, that goes to him, and especially along the line of scrimmage. So it's nothing. I'm not breaking any news here. That they need talent to develop, they need young players to develop, and it needs to happen in the trenches. That's all pretty obvious stuff.
Yeah, besides quarterback play, which always matters, the trenches part, that what happens along the offensive line growth, having to replace the defensive line from last year, at least the main four guys, to me, that's the biggest deal. That would also, Braden, wouldn't you say that's kind of a representation of if the program has developed, if they get better along the lines of scrimmage?
Yeah, I mean, no question. I mean, like, you shouldn't be getting pushed around by, like, teams like Missouri and Vanderbilt. Like, it just shouldn't happen. So that's his job, is to fix that. I actually, the quarterback position just doesn't, for whatever reason, maybe I'm crazy, it doesn't even come up in my brain when I think of what are the issues that are going to slow Tennessee down. I mean, you guys can tell me if I'm crazy or not. Jared Carrantano's not the top of that list, not even close to the top of that list for me.
No, if I did a concern list, it would not be near the top.
He's not making the top five.
Yeah, I agree. So to me, you're settled there. You got your coaching staff. You're paying them a bunch of money. You're recruiting better players, especially on the offensive line. Get those guys into camp and some of the guys that are enrolled early, and get them developed, and let's see what you can do and coach them up. I mean, that was his MO when he got there, and that was his MO at Alabama, and his MO as a special teams coach in high school football in Alabama too. So coach them up. Do your job.
Let's see if Jeremy Pruitt can help these players take another step forward. I think Jeremy Pruitt's very confident that he and his coaching staff can do that. I also think Jeremy Pruitt really likes his coaching staff. The hire of Jim Chaney and T. Martin and then Derek Ansley on the defensive side, I think Jeremy Pruitt likes the group that he's going to be working with, and that's because of his history working with a number of these coaches and their ability to teach and help develop. That continues to be the number one compliment I hear paid to the coaching staff, is their ability to work with players on the practice field, their ability to help players learn, which should help them develop, right? So that's the big focus heading into the spring. Braden did say there, and as you heard, I agreed with him, that the quarterback position should not be a concern for Tennessee. It is important. I also said that. And Jared Garantano needs to be a better quarterback moving forward for Tennessee. I also expect that he will be. If he clearly took a step forward from his freshman to his sophomore season, shouldn't he do that heading into his junior year as well? Some fans will either disagree or not totally be there, though, with the conversation that Garantano is not a concern. I know that there are fans that are concerned with how number two played this past fall and are skeptical that he can play well enough for Tennessee to win at a high level. But also right now, he's probably the only option. There's nothing right now that says JT Schrout or Brian Maurer is ready to go out there and play. They also don't have to right now. They have the rest of spring and summer and fall camp in August to get ready for the start of the year. Things can always change in the future. But right now, Garantano is the guy, and I think Tennessee is just fine with him at quarterback. Now, compared to a year ago, I mentioned Jared Garantano had not been the starter yet for Tennessee, the full-time guy. He had started games, but there was still the question, would it be Garantano or Crist, who was on his way from Stanford? You know Garantano is the guy. We also know where a number of players stand, what positions they're going to play. That's something that Jeremy Pruitt talked about recently when he met with the media, how things are different right now for Tennessee compared to a year ago, and where Tennessee is heading into this spring, how Tennessee's coaching staff is probably more prepared with the personnel it's working with.
One thing that I think is going to be really good and going to give us a jump start in the second year is we know the players. We know the guys that we recruited. We know how the puzzle needs to fit together. I think our players in return know the expectations of off-season conditioning, how we're going to go about our business in practicing, having another year under their belt, in systems with concepts that they understand. So, you know, to me that's exciting because I think the first day of spring ball we'll have a chance for guys to be playing the positions that they'll be playing in the fall. So they'll get 15 practices in the spring at positions that they'll play in the fall. So that didn't necessarily happen last year. So that's one way that I think from a player development standpoint, guys are going to have an opportunity to improve and improve in a hurry.
So this time a year ago, players are just trying to get a feel for how Tennessee's coaching staff works on the practice field. Guys are moving around to different positions because the coaches were trying to get a feel for where players fit. And guys can still move around. You know, somebody like D'Angelo Gibbs, I probably should have included him and Aubrey Solomon in the newcomer conversation in the first segment. But D'Angelo Gibbs, he'll likely get a look at wide receiver. What if they decide, well, let's take a look in the defensive backfield? So things can still change with individual players, but probably not like we saw a year ago. The coaching staff has a better idea. Jeremy Pruitt has a better idea just because he's been able to evaluate on the field for the past year, at least with the guys that are returning and what they want to do. And you know, with this class that's been signed, this coaching staff recruited and signed all of these players. Last year, there were some guys who had been recruited and maybe had committed to Butch Jones' staff. And that can create a little bit of a learning curve with the new staff coming in. So I think there's just probably a greater comfort level for Jeremy Pruitt and his coaches at Tennessee, which should make things a little smoother, at least on the practice field. Tennessee practicing later today. I'll have coverage for you on tomorrow's show. Tomorrow's going to be a busy one with post-practice thoughts after Tennessee opens up spring and a preview of the Tennessee-Auburn game coming up on Saturday. What that game means for Tennessee, some honors for some of Tennessee's basketball players. I'll get to those coming up in the next segment of Locked On Vols, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and you can play your podcast on your phone, your smartphone, when you get into your car. All you have to do is tell your phone to play podcast, Locked On VOLS, and the podcast should fire right up for you. You can do that on your phone. You can do that on your smart speaker as well. At home, you just say, play podcast, Locked On VOLS. So as I mentioned earlier in the show, LSU beat Florida in overtime. Florida hit a three to go up by two late in regulation. Tremont Waters sprinted the length of the court and went coast to coast for a lay-in with 0.5 seconds remaining to tie it to force overtime. And in the end, Florida had the ball in the final possession in overtime and did not get a shot off before the clock ran out. I don't know what that possession was, but LSU held on to get the win by a point. That's five overtime wins for LSU this season. One of those, of course, came against Tennessee a couple of weekends ago. So LSU will head into the weekend needing to beat Vanderbilt to clinch a share of the SEC title. Tennessee will need to beat Auburn to clinch a share of the SEC championship with LSU. Of course, Vanderbilt could upset LSU in Baton Rouge. That would just be shocking. So Tennessee's focus will be on trying to beat Auburn at noon on Saturday to share another SEC championship for a second consecutive season. And for the Vols, that's not going to be an easy game. KenPom.com has Tennessee projected as a winner by 1 point over Auburn. ESPN's BPI actually gives Auburn a slight edge heading into the game. I do think Vegas will have Tennessee favored by probably 2 to 3 points. That's my guess. But we'll get a better idea of that here in the next day or so. But Tennessee knows it's going to be a tough game, and that's the Vols' focus. I'm sure they would have loved for Florida to knock off LSU on Wednesday night. It didn't happen, but an SEC championship can still happen if the two teams share a title. LSU would have the number one seed in the SEC tournament because of the head-to-head win. Tennessee would be the two seed. So that's Tennessee's focus right now. The Naismith Award released its 10 semifinalists. The Naismith Award goes to the best player in college basketball. Grant Williams is one of those 10 semifinalists. Zion Williamson of Duke has been considered the favorite for the award for most of the season, but the last couple of weeks have really left that in question. With him being out for Duke, he might return this weekend against North Carolina, but that's unknown. It's more likely that he returns next week for the ACC tournament. But again, that's still up in the air. It's a big game for Duke this weekend against rival North Carolina, and it was the North Carolina game a few weeks ago when Zion went out in the first minute. But that Naismith Award, it might be up for grabs, and Grant Williams, who I think is the favorite to be the SEC Player of the Year, could be in the running for a chance to win the Naismith Award. He is among the 10 semifinalists. The Julius Erving Awards, 5 finalists were announced on Wednesday, and Admiral Schofield is on the list. The 5 finalists for the Julius Erving Award, which goes to the best small forward in the country, includes Admiral Schofield. So Grant Williams is a semifinalist, meaning he's in the top 10 for the Naismith Award, headed to the best player in college basketball, and Admiral Schofield is one of 5 finalists for the Julius Erving Award, which goes to the best small forward in the country. I don't know if these guys are going to win any of the awards. I think Grant has a really good chance to be a first-team All-American, and again, I think he's the favorite to be the SEC Player of the Year. Jordan Bone was left off the list of finalists for the Bob Cousy Award, which goes to the top point guard in the nation. I think John Morant's going to win that one, and he probably should for Murray State. He's been incredible. He's a projected top 3 to top 5 pick in the NBA draft. Tremont Waters was on that list, and I think a lot of Tennessee fans probably looked at Waters and Bone and said, I'd take Bone, and either one can play. LSU wouldn't have beat Florida last night without Tremont Waters' performance and the clutch shots he hit late. Bone is probably negatively affected by being the number 3 guy, or at least considered the number 3 guy at Tennessee. Grant Williams is the top player for Tennessee. Admiral Schofield gets so much attention. He's the senior leader for the Vols. And then you have Jordan Bone. That should not diminish what Jordan Bone means to Tennessee. But from an outside perspective, I do think Bone is viewed as the number 3 guy at Tennessee, which probably hurts him in trying to get some national recognition with something like the Bob Cousy Award. I'm also sure that Tennessee is not concerned with that at all. I'm sure Grant would love to win the Naismith Award. I'm sure Admiral would love to win the Julius Erving Award. I'm sure Grant would love to be the first player to win consecutive SEC Player of the Year awards since Corliss Williamson did it back in the mid-90s for Arkansas. I'm sure they'd love all those things. But more importantly for this basketball team, these players are focused on trying to beat Auburn to win another SEC title and will try to win an SEC tournament. And of course, you know they have big goals in the NCAA tournament. So coming up on tomorrow's show, I'll have reaction from the first day of spring football practice for Tennessee. You'll hear from Jeremy Pruitt, and I'll get you ready for Tennessee-Auburn coming up on Saturday. It's a busy time. It's a fun time with Tennessee Athletics, and I'm covering it right here on Locked On Vols, the daily Tennessee podcast. Download, subscribe, rate, and review all that good stuff, and keep spreading the word about Locked On Vols. My name's Josh Ward. Thanks for hanging out today, and I'll see you right here tomorrow.